Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hey everybody, welcome to All the Small Games. My name is Andrew Levins.
I am Jonathan Valenzuela.
And this podcast is a podcast about indie games, specifically ones you play on a video game contraption.
Yeah.
And dear listener, we may talk about those at some point in this episode.
Oh hell, boy.
The origin story of the games I'm going to be talking about today involves video games themselves. But the bulk of today's episode, it's about games that you don't need electricity for.
It helps, though.
These games... Last week, we talked about a game that was made by a studio called Cardboard Computer.
Cardboard Computer.
These guys... I mean, these games... They're made out of cardboard.
Literally cardboard. No computers involved.
So from a game that was made by cardboard, we're now going to talk about games that are made from cardboard.
You need to explain what the fuck is going on, Levins.
So a couple episodes ago, I talked about a game called Takeshi and Hiroshi, which is on Apple Arcade. And I dare say we may hear about another Apple Arcade game before this episode is over.
Oh boy.
But that was published and developed by a group called Oink Games from Japan. It was a great little game. I really enjoyed it. While talking about them on the episode, I had this bizarre epiphany where I realized that Oink Games are actually better known for their physical card games.
Yes.
Now, you know, when you think about some of the biggest game makers in the world, specifically Nintendo, their history is in card games. That's how they became, you know, but before they entered the lucrative industry of the Love Hotel industry, you know about that part?
No,
yeah,
what?
Nintendo used to like make, before video
hotels
games.
Hotels to bone down in.
Yeah.
Hell
yeah. Just to have love in.
Yeah, sure.
Whichever way you want to experience love, Mario was there.
Jump down my pipe, Mario.
they started out as a card maker, and you can still buy replicas of the card sets that Nintendo made in the,
late 1800s. Yeah. Yeah.
Oink Games, for the last decade and a half have been making these incredible, boxes that are like, you know, you can fit in the palm of your hand, and they are little portable, small card games or board games. I edited that episode having already, I finished that episode that we recorded,
mm-hmm.
That came out 2 weeks ago. I think the next day, the next week I was in Melbourne, and I went to a game shop,
yeah.
And I bought an Oink game. And since then I have bought 9.
Oh my God. if you play the episode that Levins is talking about, if you play it backwards, you'll hear Levins saying, buy card games, buy card games.
Yeah, I started out by buying like the two most well-known and kind of best reviewed games, and they are Deep Sea Adventure and A Fake Artist in New York.
Okay.
Deep Sea Adventure is like a board game, so you basically open up these little boxes.
There's some very evocative titles.
Evocative titles, beautiful, colorful boxes, incredibly well-designed.
Yeah, I'm looking at, you've got, what's this one you've got
this
here?
One here that I've got, Startups. It's called Startups.
Okay.
In this one, you invest in different companies, like startups.
Okay.
And so each company has this like, you know, beautifully designed logo. Hippo, PowerTech, Octo Coffee. And apparently like these are all so like these all these like this is a beloved one that you can actually buy all the brands' logos on t-shirts and mugs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
At different, like, you know, board game cons, whatever, that all games are present at.
I look forward to your eventual wardrobe refresh.
I mean, you have known me for how long, John?
Oh, like coming 16 years.
Probably when Oink Games first started making games. I think their first game came out in like the mid to late early 2000s.
Yeah.
Mid
to late early 2000s. Okay.
As in, you know, what do you call it? The aughties. The mid to late aughties.
Yes, sure.
But, you know, you and I've always been someone, and when I like something, I just like, I get right in there.
Sure.
It doesn't take much encouragement. In fact, I try and stop myself, but with these guys...
It's been a problem for you in the past.
But look, these guys only have like 22 games.
Sure. That's very finite. That's good.
Totally. And like, I've got 9 of them. I have 7 more of them on the way.
Right.
And then I'm going to be in Japan in April, and I've written down a list of the ones I'm going to try and find while I'm there.
Tick them all off.
And then I'm done until they release a new one. And then what's that? Maybe like 3 a year tops?
You 100%ed Oink Games. Congratulations.
Although one of them is I went so far in that like I now love... It's hard for me to admit this, John, because I feel like there's a stigma against certain... When you are a dork or a nerd, or a geek, whichever one you want to call yourself...
Poindexter, weenie.
They're all great words to call yourself, to refer yourself as. But I feel like you're a geek or you're a lover of one particular... Like let's say you and I love video games.
Sure. Which is a very broad umbrella, but still.
Yeah, totally. Specifically, I loved Nintendo games, and I've made that, you know, broadened my range as I got older.
Mm.
I feel like you and I loved very specific kinds of comic books many years ago.
Sure.
And that was one of the things we bonded over, like, you know, comedy, humor, comic books. But neither of us liked superhero comic books.
No.
And it wasn't until I met my friend Angus. He was like, oh, these are actually good. And I was like, are you serious? Because I thought I hated them. But truth was, it didn't really give them a chance. As someone that has liked video games for most of their life, whenever I go past a physical, like, tabletop games, board games, card game store, I'm always like, my reaction would be like, ugh.
Yeah, no, totally, I understand.
Like, and it's so whack though, like, you shouldn't be like that.
But here's the thing. So, board games, for instance, you got, there's one end of the spectrum, which is like chess and backgammon, your absolute fucking classics that have been around forever.
Yeah.
Then the other end of the spectrum, you've got like Settlers of Catan and, that's the only one I can think of, but you know that kind of, you know, that sort of area of like very sort of involved, complex. Where do Oink Games sit on that scale? What is different about Oink Games?
So I'm my son Archie, been on the podcast, friend of the show.
Yes,
friend of the show. I'm not going to refer to him as my son anymore. He's officially friend of the show. Yeah. Archie Levins, notoriously you know, difficult game reviewer.
Indeed.
Lover of 1-2 Switch. Also, the world's only lover of 1-2 Switch. Another geek thing that I just don't understand and never will.
But you let him cook,
exactly,
because it's important.
But he got really into Uno.
Okay.
To the point where, like, my parents would come over and he'd be like, can we play Uno now? And then everyone, Uno is the ultimate game.
And your parents would leave immediately.
Uno is the ultimate game where you're like, oh, I guess.
Yeah.
And then you start playing and then, like, you know, you get decked or you win or whatever. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'll go another round.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, like, we're like 9 rounds deep on Uno. I've never played the Uno for points. I always play the one where you're just trying to get rid of your cards before everyone else.
Of course, yeah.
It's great to play with a group. Archie started bringing the cards with him wherever he went. Angus had a birthday party. I'm talking, of course, Angus, my co-host on Hey Fam.
Yep.
Archie brings Uno and ends up playing Uno with various podcasters from all over Sydney.
That would have been one hell of a podcast.
Ask Alexi Toliopoulos from the Total Reboot podcast. How he knows how to play Uno. It's because my son taught him how.
Really?
And then whooped him.
Oh, damn. And they were playing for money. Alexi's in deep.
I was like, fuck, Archie loves Uno. Where else can I go from here? So I went to Games Paradise, which is a game store in Sydney. And
near where Kings used to be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. It's on Pitt Street. And I went in there and I said, like, look, my son loves Uno. What are some games that are similar to Uno or, like, you know, of the same difficulty that a 6-year-old can grasp and have that same, like, addictive loop?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same way I would describe, you know, certain video games. And he rattled a few off, he tried to push me onto Oink Games.
Okay.
And they were like $40, whereas like your average Uno spin-off is like $10.
Sure.
So I was like, man, why is this guy trying to put, like, you know, push me onto these little boxes that are $40? This reeks of you know, him just trying to make a quick buck out of a dumb dad. So I ended up buying fucking Boggle. But finally played Boggle last night. Yeah. Boggle rocks, man.
Really?
Boggle's so fun. We even made a version of Boggle for my daughter to play. Tilly's three. Sorry, friend of the show, Tilly, is three. And she is learning her alphabet.
Okay.
So, you know, with Boggle, you have 16, you have 16 dice that have the different letters on them.
Mm-hmm.
You shake it up or you push a button and then you have to find words within the shuffled up letters.
Which must just be absolute crack for Archie.
Yeah, I give him a 1 minute handicap so he can have one more minute longer than I do.
Sure.
And then I try and beat him. And I always do. Motherfuckers. Yeah. But he's getting close. Last round we played, I got 14 words. He got 12. So
it's a vocabulary thing.
Yeah. He was like, Dad, I didn't even know that lox and vox were words. And I'm like, you're right. Maybe we tied.
Suck it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Better start reading, kid.
Yeah.
Better start, learning about the official shortenings of music industry terms while eating cured seafood, kid.
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah, Vox and Lox. Sure, Vox. Yeah, I'm with it.
Thanks for sticking with me there.
Vox is like Latin.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's before? For vocals?
For voice.
Oh, okay, right.
Like
sure.
Deus Vox, voice of God.
Oh, there we go.
Anyway.
Hey, you want to come play Boggle with me? I bet you'd win.
No, I want to play Archie.
You're going to play...
I want to decimate your son.
Win back some money for Alexi. So with Tilly, we get the letters out, and then she has to name all the letters before the timer runs out. And she's really good. There's maybe only like four letters now that stump her.
I think the next step would be like write all the letters down in alphabetical order.
Yeah, that's a more like she's only three.
No, but I'm saying like once
she can't even write like when she writes like the difference between when her writing a T and drawing a person, not very like there's not much difference.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, just it's you know three.
No, I'm just saying when she gets
bro,
it,
stop
like,
pushing her, bro. She'll do it when she's ready.
She is my one chance against. I'm gonna train her up and run her against Archie. Anyway, all these word games.
So Games Paradise was where I first saw these Oink games.
Yes.
And then we recorded.
But you
the
were
episode.
Turned off by the price and the thought that you were being duped.
Yeah, exactly. And so I get back from recording and I've got Oink Games on the mind. And
mm-hmm.
so I look up on YouTube. There is a YouTube channel called Shut Up and Sit Down. And they are a like beloved board games YouTube channel and podcast.
Quick aside, when you'd gone into this store, had you played Takeshi and Hiroshi by that point?
Yeah, I had been, yeah.
Okay, so, but did you draw the connection between...
No, because I think when you play an Apple Arcade game, the prominent logo is the Apple Arcade
of course.
Logo,
sure,
not the
Oink
Games
sure.
logo.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until I did the episode and actually, you know, said what the publisher is.
Right, that's
that
what
realized.
It tweaked. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So I watch this, like, they review 10 Oink games in 10 minutes.
Right.
Which is a really fun video and a great little guide. Even though I disagree with almost all of their rankings in that video, they're a fun video. Though I've watched many of their videos since.
Cool.
But then I found I just looked up Oink Games on the podcast Apple's podcast app.
Sure.
And the first thing that came up was a games podcast from America called The Gaming Moguls, and this is a
moguls.
Not moguls?
M-O-G-U-L-S?
It's moguls, you're right.
Moguls,
And I've listened to a bunch of episodes, they definitely say moguls. But it's one of those things, it's root or route, you know?
Sure.
Sometimes there should be an agreed pronunciation on every single word.
There
I reckon
is.
That's to blame. No, but is it root or route?
Oh, okay.
Is it Kentucky Route Zero or Kentucky Route Zero?
All right, that's a good point.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Is it gaming?
It's definitely moguls, though. There is no wiggle room here.
Can't believe I said moguls. I know that. I'm trying to dig myself out of this idiot hole that I find myself in week after week.
Anyway, gaming moguls.
And they did an episode where they talked about every Oink game, which they recorded at the start of last year. So there's a few that have come out since. And that was an amazing listen. Because they really like broke down like their favorites, how you play each one, the length of time it takes to play each one, and I then DJ'd for 6 hours, and by the end of those 6 hours, I'd bought many on Amazon Prime,
I wonder if the people at Amazon like look at your account and can tell when you're DJing.
Yeah,
just quick. Based on
push this to him.
Just based on purchasing times.
But yeah, so definitely if you are like would like a deeper dive than we're doing right now, definitely listen to the Gaming Moguls because they go through in chronological order. All of the Oink games,
mm-hmm.
With a little bit more, you know, depth of history and the, who designs each game as well, because yeah, like, I mean, independent board games is a scene unto itself. It's enormous.
Sure.
It's so crazy. I guess, you know, I'm very, you know, definitely grew up with Milton Bradley games and you know, whatever all the other big name board games are. Lots of how big was your board game cupboard growing up?
Oh, we had your basics. We had Trivial Pursuit, Monopoly.
Didn't have fucking Forbidden Bridge?
No.
Damn, that's sick. I still have that at my parents' house. All pieces accounted for.
Oh, damn.
I'm gonna have to whip that out.
Okay.
So like you play like an angry idol who guards a rickety bridge.
Is that like one
it's
of actually, those?
It's a little bit like Deep Sea Adventure. It's about risk versus reward. You've got to you have to like go and steal jewels from the idol and then make it back to your boat, but you have to cross the Forbidden Bridge to do it.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
What
Man,
makes
I'm gonna play that game. That game what is makes it awesome. Forbidden? Well, if you roll a die that has the side of the die with the idol's face on it, you have to push down on the idol, and then he makes this god awful noise, just like blah, 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 and he shakes the bridge,
right, and shakes your piece off.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. Yeah, really fun game.
All right, so Oink Games, have you played all the ones you have?
All right, so I'm going to go through the ones that I've that I own. So I currently own A Fake Artist in New York, Deep Sea Adventure, Flotsam Fight. Nine Tiles, Mr. Face, Troika, The Pyramid's Deadline, Toma Tomato, and Startups. And then I have Insider, Moneybags, Tricks and the Phantom, Masked Men, Nine Tiles Panic, Dungeon of Mandom, and Zogan.
Dungeon of Mandom?
Yeah, and they've made several of those over the years, but this is the most recent version of it. It's like a dungeon crawler card game.
Right. For the Mandem.
For the Mandem. Comes up. And then when I am in Japan, the exclusives that I'm going to try my hardest to find, I know some of them are like worth so much money now that I don't want to like, you know, lose money and family by buying them while I'm over there. But the latest game is called Fafnir. It's like a game where you play as like, you've got to like, steal eggs like from a chicken or something.
Fafnir. That's yeah. Very familiar.
Oh, it sounds like one of the
Fafnir.
Isn't that's one of the Warriors 3 from Thor, isn't it? Fafnir.
Yeah, Fafnir is from Norse mythology, son of dwarf king. Blah 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 blah.
Dual Clash Poker, which apparently is like a tie-in game to a Square Enix RPG spin-off.
Really?
Yeah, they in the game they play this version of poker. So Oink Games made an actual version of the poker.
Cool.
Kobayakawa, Twins, Inner Grove, Troll, and Rights.
Right.
And these are all drastically different games.
Sure.
Let's go through the bangers that we've played.
I was gonna ask, what from what you've played have been the standouts?
Okay, so if you are like, this sounds like nonsense, but I do like the idea of playing like these like really fun, easy to travel with boxes with a fun card game inside.
I was gonna say, like, you opening Startups just then. That's not like seeing what's inside. Those are all tokens. Like I almost like it's not a card game.
Well, some of them are card games. Some like I said, like Deep Sea Adventure, you actually have like pieces,
right? So,
and it's, you know, you're playing on like a board that you create with tokens.
Cool. Okay.
That game you'd love. Like honestly, like, man, you say the word, come over any Saturday, any Sunday. It's rainy as shit in Sydney for like the next month.
That's true.
Come over any weekend. We got an afternoon of board games ahead of us.
Hell yeah.
Archie rules at all of them. He keeps whooping me with all of these.
This is for Boggle, Dad.
So the two games that I would recommend for anyone with kids straight away are Nine Tiles. Nine Tiles is you can play with four players or two. Oh, sorry, or eight players if you buy two sets.
Right.
Or I guess, you know, any.
Just keep scaling up from there.
Basically, every player gets nine tiles. They are double-sided, but the same pattern. So each tile has a different pattern on it, like a different symbol. And then underneath each symbol is a different pattern, but no tile is actually the same. So say you have a brown symbol on top, beneath it may be a pink symbol, but underneath your other brown symbol will be a blue symbol.
Right.
So no two tile is identical, but everyone has the same nine tiles.
Sure.
And then so you put a card, and on the card has a formation of the nine symbols, and you have to, as quickly as possible, create that formation with your tiles by flipping and moving your tiles around in your 9-panel grid.
Okay.
And then once whoever the first person to do it, and you could, you know, you could get it done in 10 seconds, it may take you 40 seconds.
Sure.
You whack your hand on the stack of on the card, and that card's yours. So you can play it best like first to five.
Right.
Or you can play like all 36 of the cards, sure. The double-sided cards too. So you can just keep playing this game. It's almost endless. That one is, and it's so easy to explain to somebody, especially when you have like the cards in front of you. It's like a 20-second explanation to get people to play it.
Sure.
Another game that's really fun to play with kids that I've seen a lot of people give bad reviews to because it's quite easy if you're an adult. So this is the game that I purposely lose whenever I play against Archie. It's a tongue twister game called Toma Tomato.
Sure.
Basically, you have a bunch of cards. Each of them represents a different sound. So the picture with the tomato on it is that the sound is tomato. Then there's other Japanese. So like I can't remember what the symbol to thing is, but one means toe, one means ma, one means mato. Then there's tomato, and then there's one card out of the 40-ish cards is potato.
Right.
So you stack, you roll a die, and then you have to put however many numbers, whatever number you get on the die, you have to put that amount of cards, add that to the line of cards, mm-hmm. and then you've got to read them all, the next person. So you've got to go, say it may be like toto, mato, tomato, potato, mato, mato, to, tomato.
Right.
And so you have to do that without fucking up. If you fuck up, then everyone you're playing with gets to take some of the cards.
Okay.
And at the end of the game, once you've run out of cards to make the line with and pronounce, whoever has been able to spell tomato the most times out of the various cards with the cards that they've taken from the line wins.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Right.
Really, really fun, really simple, yeah. Really silly. It's a good like icebreaker game before sure. playing something a bit meatier, like mm-hmm. Flotsam Fight.
Ooh.
Probably my favorite of the Oink games so far. In Flotsam Fight, you are deep sea divers,
mm-hmm.
and basically you have you're given 10 cards, and each card has a number in the top corner. There are 8 lifeboats, but you can only use the amount of lifeboats that you have that there are of players. So there's four of you playing, you can only use 4 of the lifeboats. Each of the lifeboats has a number from 3 to 8 on it. 3 to 10 on it.
Okay.
And you can only, all of your cards have numbers on them too. You can only put cards that are multiples of the number on the lifeboat on there.
Right.
But so like, yeah, let's say I put a 3 down in the 3, you can put any number above 3 that's a multiple of 3 okay. from your cards.
6, 9, 12, in that light bulb.
Yes, but if I put 90 and you have a 36, you can't put that on top.
Right.
So it's this game where you can just like fuck over every player and stop them from being able to use a lifeboat, or you can slowly, all very in unison, try and get rid of as many of your smaller cards as possible.
Okay.
And there are 3 rounds. Each round is ended when someone gets rid of all their cards.
Right.
And then the loser is whoever has the highest card in their deck.
Okay.
It rules. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
I've never won. It's like, these are the games where it's like, like, I'm not that competitive of a person. I am when it comes to, like, some physical things.
Sure.
But I
feel like you're competitive against yourself. You like it, like...
Yeah, that's
getting
true.
100% yeah. in games is like, it's not you versus someone, it's you versus your own skill.
Yeah, and like, while I would love to win one of these games, like, Flotsam Fight I've played maybe 6 times and I've lost, I haven't won. I've pretty much lost every single time.
Right.
Of like 3 or 4 people.
And you're playing against
Archie, B, Angus, like a lot of, yeah, cool. a lot of okay. people. A lot of friends of the show, man.
Sure.
My wife. B is my wife.
I was going to say.
She's not a friend of the show yet. But yeah, Flotsam Fight is like, and also, like, as someone, like, you know, a 6-year-old that is all about their times tables right now, it is great to have a game that is pushing you to memorize your times tables
sure.
all the way up to, you know, 11 times 3 and, you know, sorry, like, you know, 30 times 3. You know, you're going
yeah.
higher and higher than your standard.
Look, based on my last conversation with Archie, you need to work out a variant that's prime numbers.
Oh, true. Because
that kid knows his prime numbers.
You know what he told me yesterday?
What?
He goes, Dad, I worked out something really fun with the 8 times tables yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I've never, ever heard anyone...
Work out anything fun with it.
Like, okay, so, all right, 1 times 8... Is
8.
Eight, right? So that's numerical 8.
Mm-hmm.
2 times 8 is 16.
One.
So you add the 2 numbers, 1 and 6 together, that's 7.
Sure.
3 times 8.
24, 6.
6. 4 times 8?
32.
Yep.
5. Oh.
Right, so you go all the way, and then like once you've done your 8 times tables, it then repeats itself and goes back up again.
Really?
It's fucking insane.
Has he done the one for the 9 times table?
That's the one where you like as in like the trick.
It's the same thing. 1 times 9 is 9. 2 times 9 is 18. That's 9 together. 3 is 27. That's 9 together. 36, oh, so 9, it's just 9, 45, 9, 9. 54. It's 9 all the way up.
I'm going to bring that home tonight.
Yeah.
But the 8 one.
Blow his mind. That's really interesting.
The
8
one's really tricky. I think I do know the 9 one. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, the 8 one. That's crazy. Hey, look, let us know. All the small games at gmail.com if you have any cool
times
table facts.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I'm very, very hooked on Oink games and just card games in general. I'm trying, like, the collector in me, I could not hold back when you can see how gorgeous
it's fantastically Oink packaged. Games,
the presentation, like everything about it, they're so well made, so well printed, so well designed. Even the games that I'm like, we probably can't play that for a while. Like, you know, A Fake Artist Goes to New York is a game where, like, you have to play with minimum 5 players.
Right.
And one of you is the fake artist, but the other ones, everyone else is given, like, you're all told an object that you need to be drawing, except one of you doesn't know it.
Right.
And so, based on what everyone else is drawing, they have to pretend that they know what you're drawing.
Ah.
And the goal is to pick who the fake artist is.
Right.
And so it's like a kind of like bluffing art game.
Sure.
And like, you know, I'll be able to play that a lot less, if at all, than the other games. But like, just the presentation, these packages, they're so... I couldn't not go the fuck in. And so I've gone the fuck in on Oink games. I have a list of other board games that I now want to check out. The world of independent board games has opened itself up to me. And just my luck, so many of them are Japanese, which is like just the quickest way for me to get extra addicted to something.
Sure.
So I found a bunch of other like really awesome looking indie games. A lot of these were mentioned on the Gaming Moguls. Thank you. Wow, let's see, I'm learning so much on this podcast. But there's a producer of games there called Sashi and Sashi, and they have a bunch of games that I'm going to be trying to look out for. They're based in Kyoto, whereas Oink are in Shibuya in Tokyo, which is where my hotel is.
Hey.
So I might knock on their door and be like, hey guys, put me in one of your games.
Yeah. A fake DJ in New York.
And there's one called In Front of the Elevators by Sashi and Sashi, where you have to basically like put different family members in front of, like, basically everyone's in lining up for an elevator, and your goal is to get your family through the elevator into the elevator first.
Right.
And there's all these rules for each card that you have. Sounds really cool and weird. Yeah. And that's all these. I mean, that's the thing for me. Like, none of these are like straight down the middle. They all have like they're simple enough with like this small like strange rule like added on top and like fun variations. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
And then the final producer of games, I guess publisher, is Masu, and they have one. They have a few, like all great names. Building a Sword as Soon as Possible, Find Job Labyrinth, and then my personal favorite that I can't wait to find is called Hyper Super Yoga, where you both have like a yogi, so a man leading a yoga class, and then you have like a bunch of like limbs. And you basically can, using cards, all your cards have limbs on them, like, or like extensions of limbs. And so you basically have to put your, like, basically do the most difficult yoga pose with like, you know, multiple loops and extra long arms and legs with your yogi as possible using the cards.
Nice.
Sounds so fun. And like, yeah. They're all so well developed. They're also small and easy transportable. Like, it's perfect for like, you know, trying to encourage things beyond like, hey, let's watch TV together. Yeah. Let's play a video game together. Like, you know, you've got to minimize that screen time on those little eyes.
Sure.
Am I right, Dad?
You stay away from my eyes, Levins.
And there's even, Sashi and Sashi even make a card game for one person.
Whoa.
Which is called Coffee.
It's called Solitaire.
Coffee Roaster.
Oh, okay.
So that's another one I'm going to try and track down too. Because how fun is like to review a one person card game down the track. Anyway, look, I'm officially... I haven't quite leapt into the realm of board games.
I swear to God, if I find out you've settled Catan, it's fucking over, Levins.
I think Catan is technically a... Isn't that a
board game?
Isn't it a card game though?
It's like
a card game with a board.
It's just... you've watched Parks and Rec. In my mind, Settlers of Catan is just the cones of Dunshire. Like, completely impenetrable. I have no idea what's going on. I'm sure there are some people listening who are like, man, Settlers of Catan is a really cool... I don't care.
And they definitely sound way cooler than that.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't care. I will never bring myself... The last thing I've, like... My sister was here a few weeks ago, and she made me play Bananagrams. Have you ever played Bananagrams?
I think I saw... it comes in like a banana-shaped pouch,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and it's like it's Scrabble kind of right. thing. And I love word games, but I was just infuriated by the end of it.
Oh, really? So it's annoying? Or
it's no, I was just like, gah, I hate this.
Why?
I don't know. It's like just... I was like, can't we just play Scrabble?
Oh, right. So yeah. I mean, Scrabble... I like the idea of playing a more simplified Scrabble that you can do in like... shorter rounds.
Yeah.
Like I hate Monopoly, but there's a Monopoly card game, right. which is apparently excellent, and like you can play in like 10-minute bursts.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anyway, maybe this is a world that I got to dip my toe into.
These oink games are at my house if you ever want to come. I mean,
sure.
B is like, don't buy more until you've played the others. So please come and help me.
Sure. Okay.
Justify that I've already bought more.
Loudly and vocally playing all the games.
Wow, Levin's another great purchase. Let's play one of the other ones now.
All right, so we've just
and
done...
And then B's like, wait a minute, how much are you paying John to say this?
I'm paying him in oink games, it's fine.
But yeah, if this podcast suddenly becomes a miniatures painting podcast...
Oh boy.
I I've gone way too far.
Yeah, shit's just... Yeah, I'm no longer on the podcast, it's just you talking about...
While painting.
So my Skaven giant was a real tough blah, blah, blah.
See, luckily I still hate fantasy with all of my core.
Sure.
I think that's going to keep me away from Magic and Warhammer.
Yeah, entirely fair.
But all of these, there's like a whole bunch of games that are like... Oh, it's a card game about the Japanese train network. I'm like, I'm fucking in. How much is it? How many extensions are there? Like, expansions are there? I'm
ooh,
in.
Shinkansen DLC. Yeah, exactly. Bring it on.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right, so we've talked oink games. Fantastic, but not video games. I think
Give him a little bit of video game talk.
I've got one in my pocket. It is a...
Is it an oink game? Because I can fit this in my pocket.
No, it is a... I mean, it's on my phone, so yes, okay, sure. I can. It's an Apple Arcade game called Sneaky Sasquatch. So Sneaky Sasquatch was developed by a group called RAC7 or RAC7. I mean, the letters are all caps, so I don't know if it like stands for something or... they're a two-person team working out of Vancouver in Canada. They also did Spec. You might remember.
Oh,
Spec.
Cool! Yeah,
the,
I really
like,
enjoyed
little,
that one.
You twist it around.
Fun little puzzle game.
Yeah,
yeah. It's cool that almost every game we've talked about from Apple Arcade, the developer or publisher have put out like multiple games on Apple Arcade.
So Sneaky Sasquatch is a wildly different game from Spec.
Oh, fuck! I didn't even talk about all the other apps that Oink Games have made.
No,
you're, a future episode.
We are done. So Sneaky Sasquatch is a game in which you play a Sasquatch living in like a little sort of like nature park, where your presence is known by the rangers. You're not allowed to like go into the rest of the park. So obviously the first thing you do is go into the rest of the park.
Mm-hmm.
Very early on in the game, once you've kind of gotten a few basics down, like sneaking around and like you have to like having to eat food and steal food and all that kind of stuff, you find out that the park is at risk of being sold to developers who are going to tear all the nature down and put up apartments. So of course, you, with your trusty, like with your raccoon friend slash shopkeeper, he tells you that there is a treasure in the park, and you need to find this treasure. However, the treasure map has been torn into, I think, 9 pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So you now have to go and track those 9 pieces down. So you wander around through the park, trying to stay away from campers and rangers initially. You're on the hunt for these treasure pieces. Some of them can just be found by like looking in kind of hidden areas. Some of them are, you can unlock, like at the raccoon store, you can buy like a camper's outfit. So suddenly you're not scaring any of the campers anymore. Only the rangers recognize you have an issue, which then means you can explore so much more. There's like ski fields, there's a golf course, there's a race course. Each of these places, you can play golf, you can go skiing, you can race cars. So sort of like little mini games within this bigger game. There's fishing. there's like all this sort of stuff that you can do in this adventure park. People send you on quests. You know, like there's in a couple of screens, like a fox pops up and is like, I'll give you money if you scare 4 campers. But you can't leave this screen and you can't get caught by a ranger. It's like, okay, cool, I'll do that. Ha ha, go and scare a bunch of people. And then like that fox pops up again a few times with various different things. In the ski fields, for instance, there's a little, like for some reason, in a few different areas, there are ducks that are like, hey, I lost a hat. Can you go get the hat for me? And like one, you know, so you go and get the hat and they put this oversized hat on their head and it's very cute. It's a very cute game.
Yep.
And I think it's a perfect, like I was talking to you before the episode about how I think Archie would really like it. And I think it's the sort of game...
Well, he's actually downloaded it to play on the iPad.
I think it's the sort of game that's like a good introduction for children to... Like it's the start of the journey that will take them to like Breath of the Wild one day. Because it's teaching them about like free to roam around this area. You have goals that you need to achieve. Yep. There is a lot of other things that you can do outside of the main gameplay loop that are entertaining. Like the golf section of it, was great. Like I loved playing golf in this game.
Yeah, great.
Like,
awesome.
You know, in each, like the racing and the skiing and golf, there are tournaments you can participate in. And like skiing and racing, I did the little I had to do to get past them. But the golf one, I'm like, I am playing every one of these. Like, and the pro tournament was really difficult and I had to play it through a second time. But I was like, this is so fun. I'm just playing it.
Yeah, great. Like, awesome.
It's great.
Controls are really intuitive. And
controls are tap on screen to move around, essentially.
Yeah, cool.
And every time, and it's kind of fun because every time like you go to steal from an esky or a picnic basket, it like brings the object up on screen. I mean, and you're like, you see the Sasquatch's hand there, and you have to like guide the hand to like open the thing, and then like drag and drop each bit of food into your backpack. And then when you're eating, he like tips the backpack out on a picnic table, and you have to like pick up individual bits of food and hold them over the mouth. And the guy's like, like eats really messily.
Yeah, this so I think it's right up their alley.
Yeah, I think Archie's gonna absolutely love this game. I saw it. I can't remember what drew me to it. Maybe I saw it in an ad or something, because Apple Arcade had been running a lot of like ads on other paid mobile games at the moment. So maybe it popped up in there, but I was like, huh, wait a minute, that looks kind of fun and interesting. And
yeah, I heard a lot of people compare it to Untitled Goose Game. So it's a bit
more involved than Untitled Goose Game, but definitely in that same kind of vein of like, you're not even really causing mischief. You just have to sneak around a lot.
Yeah, Archie's definitely ready for more involved games. And like last night we tried to play the to 100% Watam,
mm-hmm.
And like I just remember how annoying that game is to control, and like when you're actually trying to do, you know. It's really annoying trophies, like, you know, blow up 100 things.
Sure.
Do like, and I was just like, you know what, we're not going to do this. Let's play a game that's actually fun.
Yeah.
And then maybe this is it.
Yeah. I'd be very interested to see what Archie thinks of it.
So that is Sneaky Sasquatch on Apple Arcade. It's an exclusive thus far.
I believe so. I can let me just doubler check this.
It's been a quiet 2020 for the Apple Arcade front so far.
Yeah, like the last two games I think released are like multiplayer games, which I was like, no.
Yeah, right. Interesting.
Yeah.
They definitely have their place, but last time I looked,
not for me.
Was like one or two games like at all this year.
Yeah.
So a soccer game. Oh, a game called Secret Oops, multiplayer IR party game. Yeah, right.
Yep.
Butter Royale and No Way Home and Doomsday Vault. So there have been five this year, which is still pretty fine.
Yeah. I mean, No Way Home we reviewed
a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah, a couple of episodes ago. That's fun.
I'm really enjoying. I like Lego Builder's Journey. Did you play any of that?
Yeah, I played that. That was really good.
Very cute.
Yeah.
Still a very good service.
Yeah, cool. Well, we've ticked off the video game portion.
Yeah, and if you want to play any of the Oink games I mentioned, you can go
my
to
my address is, and you can.
But their website is Oink, so OINKGMS, Oink mm-hmm. Games. They make games really little for some reason. So if you can find them on Instagram, Twitter, just OINKGMS. A lot of their stuff is available on Amazon. If you're in Australia, yeah, you can buy most of their games at Games Paradise, or if you're in Sydney, or Mind Games if you're in Melbourne.
Okay.
But I'll definitely check some of them out. Like, I reckon the ultimate one, and I had to import this one from Japan, but Nine Tiles. It's just like the easiest, like super fun to get into, and Flotsam Flight at this point is my favorite.
Cool.
I'll check in with them every few weeks.
Yeah.
I won't take over an entire episode, or will I? Who knows?
Oh. Who knows at this point? Possibly.
Thanks so much for listening. If you want to find us, you can on Twitter. We are at All the Small Game, or individually at LevDog at 16 Tacos. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/AllTheSmallGames. And our email address is allthesmallgames@gmail.com.
We love to hear from you guys. Also, review on iTunes podcast app. Is that worth it? I don't know.
I mean, apparently it is. I don't know.
If you feel like it.
If you want to review...
If you're that moved.
Review us as people.
Sure.
Just so that, man, that's a fun activity. Yeah. Review us as a game.
Right.
Review me and John as games.
As, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's
yeah.
super fun and very easy for everyone to do. Thank you so much in advance. Bye.
All right, bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.